Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the Ka-Ching with Jane King podcast, a podcast from parents to parents to help us teach the next generation about money. Now, today's podcast is brought to you by Wasabi Rabbit. Wasabi Rabbit is a veteran-owned digital marketing agency that provides brand campaign and user experience transformations that accelerate business growth. For more information, you can go to wasabirabbit.com. And with me as always, Kim Mustin, a co-host, Wall Street executive, mom, fellow passionate supporter of financial education. Welcome, Kim.
Great to be back here. Sorry I missed everyone last week. Really excited for today's guest. You know, we talk a lot on the podcast about teaching our kids about the will and the importance of saving. And I love this company's tagline, invest with confidence. And I, you know, company that's been around since 1937, a lot of great investment capabilities, and now this new report, which I'm really interested to dig into.
Yes, very interesting. So let's get right to our guest, Roger Young, a senior financial planner with T. Rowe Price. You just did this really interesting survey about kids and money, and the bottom line, Roger, is that parents are likely to pass down money habits to their kids, good and bad, right?
That's absolutely right. Yes, it's not destiny, but it is is certainly a trend we found, and we'd like to give some people some thoughts on how to avoid that problem if you don't have great habits, or to continue doing the right thing if you do have good habits.
You're never too late to learn. So the first thing I want to do is just tell me about the methodology of it. I always like when we do these studies to know how many people you talk to and just how the survey was done.
So we did the survey in January, a little over 1,000 parents and 1,000 kids, one kid per parent. The kids were ages 8 to 14, so we view that as a good age to be teaching kids about money before it's too late, before their habits are ingrained. You know, everything we talk about in the release of the study is significant.
What were some of the most significant, what was the biggest aha, if there was one, that you found in the results of the study?
So to me, the most interesting thing was some of the results around bankruptcy. We asked a little bit more on that topic than we had in previous surveys. It was fascinating to me the difference in results if parents told their kids about their bankruptcy or didn't tell them about their bankruptcy. So of the people who had gone through bankruptcy and told their kids about them, 68% of those kids say that they consider themselves very smart or extremely smart about money. In the group where the parents didn't tell them, that number is only 30%.
Wow.
So that's a pretty dramatic contrast in the confidence level of those kids.
That is really interesting. And it really goes to show that the more you talk about things, good and bad, the better it is for the children.
Yes, and we're not necessarily saying you need to, you know, on a monthly basis, go through your balance sheet and budget or have, you know, completely full disclosure. But there needs to be some level of involvement and conversation. And historically, that is always shown in the survey that it helps the kids.
I noticed from the one of the things from the study was that the more opportunity that kids have to practice and with managing money, the more comfortable they are. Can you just talk a little bit more about that specific finding and anything that you are doing with your own clients that might be helpful to our audience?
Sure. We found that letting your kids have some control over their money was one of the three big takeaways from the survey, and one of the three big things that you can do to help your kids have better outcomes. One of the things I particularly liked was that kids who have more opportunity to control their own money don't spend their money as soon as they get it to nearly the same extent as the kids who have less control.
Funny how that happens.
Yes, right? and it's interesting because you would think if you don't have as much control, you can't necessarily spend the money as soon as you get it. But that's the trend we're seeing. We also see that the kids who have some control are much more honest with their parents. 49% of those kids who say they don't have a lot of control have lied to their parents about what they spend their money on. And I guess part of that is that when they do get the chance, they're sneaky about it. If the kids have more control, only 29% have lied to their parents. Still not a great number, but considerably lower than the 49%. We also found that the kids who don't have control over their money as much tend to expect their parents to buy them what they want to a much greater extent.
So when would you say that habits are best formed for children and how they handle money?
Well, we certainly think that 8 to 14 range where we do the survey is an appropriate range for kids to be answering questions about money. So at that point, they should have already learned something that that when their parents are out buying things or going to the ATM or going to a bank, that the kids are starting to pick up on the concept of money. So obviously, sooner than that, there are reasonable things to be conveying. And we have a website, moneyconfidentkids.com, that give parents a lot of great ideas on how to have those conversations, what type of topics are appropriate at various ages.
So parents can go there and they can learn some tips and some strategies.
Yeah, we have tips for parents. We have tips for educators. We also have games for kids. It's a star type of theme. So, it's intending to be as fun as we can make an educational game about money. And we found that's gotten good reception.
What about some of those bad money habits? What are some of the things that you've seen where, as I think about your kids lying to you about what they've spent money on, that doesn't afford you the opportunity to try to counsel them on how they could not make that mistake in the future, help them unwind maybe whatever they got themselves into, which could create this downward spiral and, send them off into adulthood with a lot of debt and things like that. What other compounding effects of bad money habits have you seen? And can you talk about some of the tips that you have for parents to be able to have those kind of conversations and with their kids and to try to open up? Because that's got to be kind of difficult for kids to, if they have not been honest, to really open up the kimono and say, I've really made a big mistake and I'm in a lot of financial debt and now I need you to bail me out.
Certainly honesty is a big recurring theme throughout our survey. And so that goes both ways, the parents being upfront about their situation, as well as the kids being honest about their mistakes. You bring up a very good point there. In terms of some of the habits that we see with parents and kids, one of the tough ones is credit card debt, which you alluded to. Parents who have significant amounts of credit card debt are much more likely to see kids who are dishonest, who are spending their money immediately, who expect more from their parents, who end up having issues themselves. One thing that I found in the survey that has always surprised me is that there's a significant population out there of kids who have credit cards as kids. In this latest survey, 18% was the number. I'm hopeful that maybe some of those kids are actually have debit cards and think they're credit cards, but in any event, that's a number that's somewhat unsettling. And when we talk about letting your kids make mistakes, it's a whole lot easier to let them make mistakes if you're dealing with currency or a debit card where the damage is limited to the balance. With a credit card, obviously there's a whole lot more potential problem there.
Now, Roger, a lot of parents are still reluctant to discuss money with kids. I mean, why do you think that is? Why is there a barrier that we just don't feel comfortable talking about this subject with our children?
It's interesting. I think there's perhaps a bit of a societal taboo that we don't ask people what we make. We don't ask other people, about how much they have in the bank. And so we certainly don't want our kids to be money fanatics or, rude to other people about it. Within a family, though, certainly our survey has always shown that some level of openness pays off down the road. And again, I think it's a matter of having money conversations more than it is, full disclosure. We talk in our survey about some of the things that are frequent topics that you can discuss with your kids that are relatively easier than these kind of big picture, life-changing type of discussions. You can talk to your kids about what a budget should be when you're going on back to school shopping for clothes. You can figure out with them how much they saved by buying items on sale instead of full price. One that I like with our kids is having them help me calculate the tip at a restaurant. You can have a conversation if you physically go into a bank. There are obviously bigger conversations about cost of college as the kids get older, and why we didn't take a bigger vacation. In terms of the priorities of the family, but we like to say that kids having conversations with your kids on a weekly basis really shows up as a marker for success. And again, those weekly conversations don't need to be, the biggest things in the world. They can just be as you see opportunities in day-to-day life.
Yeah, there's really actually a lot of real-life opportunities to discuss if we just kind of seize the opportunity and talk to them about it.
Yeah, one thing that I saw in the study too, Roger, was that, and I've talked about this, so I will harp on it one more time. It is incredibly important for every single person to have a financial plan. Whether you write it down yourself or you buy a book and you self-educate yourself, which I think is growing increasingly hard to do, you have a robo-advisor or a trusted financial advisor. I was really surprised that of the survey respondents, that only 54% of them had a financial advisor. Can you talk about the importance of involving your kids in your financial planning conversations with your financial advisor, and when and how you try to execute that in your practice?
Well, that's an interesting topic. That does get closer to kind of the full disclosure that we're talking about. And I certainly think that's a more appropriate conversation as your kids get towards adulthood. I don't know if there's necessarily a right or wrong answer there, but starting to have those conversations involving a planner would be appropriate, especially as you're thinking about college for your kids, because that's a time when you're talking about making a major investment financially, and you want your kids to understand that it's not a blank check, that there is a budget that has to go with that decision. And it's like all financial topics, there's a trade-off involved. If you choose to go to a more expensive school, that could mean more debt. That could be difficult if you don't end up finishing your degree, and we're seeing increasingly in society that's an issue. Mm-hmm. Certainly, as your kids start formulating their own plans as young adults, it's helpful to give them some idea of how your plan fits in with that. Kids have a reasonable right to know, am I going to be counted on to support you in old age, or is there, on the flip side, some chance of getting some inheritance that could help down the road? or do we just not know yet? That's certainly the state of a lot of people. The kids 8 to 14, I wouldn't say necessarily are the age where you should be including them in the conversation with an advisor. But letting them know that you have an advisor probably makes sense, and that person is a resource to them later in life. One other interesting thing from the survey that people may not have picked up on is that, you know, while you were surprised that only about half of the people had financial advisors, when we asked them who do they rely on for advice, financial advisors actually is a much lower number than the 50%. So they have them and aren't necessarily thinking of them or using them to the extent they should. So yes, that is something that was a bit of a surprise to us.
Now, you mentioned, Roger, 8 to 14. So I'm thinking those kids that are 8 right now, and I know this because I have a daughter who will turn 8 in May, who I got my positive pregnancy test the weekend that Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy. So she's gonna be reading all of those books someday in the future. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, of course, went through a very difficult time. Job losses, foreclosures, just really painful time. And those kids are now getting to the age where some of those parents can share those stories with them. How would you recommend that parents do that?
I think making it personal, making it real life to them, and I'll give you my personal experiences, that my kids are a little bit older, but they certainly were affected by the 2008 decline. I worked for a company at that point that sold products largely tied to the housing industry, and so it was a difficult time for that company and had an impact on our personal situation. Now, I wasn't necessarily giving them a blow-by-blow at that point, but they understand how that's affected our trade-offs going forward and how that's affected, you know, what's saved for college and how we go through those decisions. So, yes, I think it certainly makes sense to bring it home in terms of the impact on the family and the trade-offs. And again, without necessarily, pulling out the balance sheet, but to give them a sense that yes, these are real things that happen to real people, and you need to have some level of backup plan in life to handle the tough times that will come from time to time in the markets.
Roger, you've given us so many great things. This study is packed full of great statistics, and the website has so many great tips on it. So I want to just call that out again, moneyconfidentkids.com. So please take a look for our listeners to go out and get some great tips. As we conclude here today, maybe can you just give like your top three pieces of advice for parents who are really trying to materially move the dial that is so sorely needed with so many kids in this country today, as our financial literacy scores are at just, horrible levels. What are the three things that you would sort of say that parents should be doing, and the three big things that need to be avoided?
I think, the three top tips would be, as we've been talking about, talk to your kids about money regularly, to the extent you can. Second, let them have some control over how they spend their money. And third, kids pick up on what you do. So try to be careful with your own behaviors and model good behaviors the best you can. That's a tough thing, and that's probably the toughest of the three of those. And in terms of those things to avoid, to me, the credit card debt is a big one, both for you and your kids. I'd also like to mention, another organization that I've been involved with and T. Rowe Price is a big supporter of, which is Junior Achievement. If you have access to JA programs, those are a good way to teach your kids about money at various stages of their education. Yeah, and of course, the moneyconfidentkids.com, we think is another great resource.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go there too. And JA is wonderful. I wish there was more of it in New York. I'm going to have to look at that and maybe try to figure out how to get them active. But thank you so much, Roger, for joining us today and sharing all this wonderful information and tips for parents and helping us teach the next generation some good financial habits.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And today's podcast brought to you by Wasabi Rabbit. Wasabi Rabbit is a veteran-owned digital marketing agency. It provides brand, campaign, and user experience transformations that accelerate business growth. For more information, you can go to wasabirabbit.com. And thank you for listening today. We hope that we gave you some great tips. We always welcome your comments and suggestions. Hashtag KidsKaching on all the socials, and we'll catch you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.